Good evening, folks. It is Wednesday, the 21st of February of 2018. It is 9 p.m. Eastern, and this is the Courtroom Observer's Call. Well, sounds like everything is still exciting for Crystal. Possibly for others too. It's, I'm still trying to figure out what's going on with Shauna Cox and Ryan Bundy. They dropped their lawsuits against the government. It seems like somebody has talked them into doing something else, and I think it's another man on the land scheme that they've been talked into, so I'm trying to find out what's happening. Not sure that I like what's going on, but...
Robert, I think if you file a lawsuit and then ask to dismiss it, if you bring it back again and lose, then you have to pay all the attorney's fees for the other side, so that's really not a very smart move, it doesn't sound like.
No, I don't think it was very smart. They're out with, well, it's a Seventh Amendment grand jury. Well, a Seventh Amendment grand jury could only be a common law grand jury, and I don't, somebody is looking to form a grand jury, and I would suppose there's money involved, and so I need to know where they're, what courthouse they're using. Got a feeling there ain't no courthouse that they're using. You know, the Constitution talks about the grand jury in the Fifth and the Seventh Amendments, not in the main body. And so I suppose that's where they came up with the name Seventh Amendment grand jury. But until we take back the courts, good luck, folks. So I get the feeling that Ryan and Shauna Cox has fallen into another scheme. So things just keep on going. I took our idea of a renewal of the Constitution, and I put a small blurb on it on Facebook, and probably 9 out of every 10 that commented, it was all favorable. So I think I'm going to go ahead and write it up, present it to you guys, see what you think. I don't think it can hurt us in any way. And maybe we can stop some of these people hollering for a constitution. I mean, a convention. So, anyway, here we are. So what do we do tonight? I think we go on with the Constitution. Oh. We've already gone through the Declaration of Independence. I think we'll look into the Article 1 tonight. Article 1, Section 1. All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives. I think we all agree on that. I think we all understand that. So, Section 2, the House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every second year by the people of several states. And the electors in each state shall have the qualification requisite for electors of the most numerous branch of the state legislature. Damn, I can't even see to read. Now, what did I say there? The House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every second year by the people of the several states, and the electors in each state shall have the qualification requisite for electors. I'm not sure that whether they're qualified or not. How do we know if they're qualified? Be damned if I know. I wonder, you know, I don't know if they're, who qualifies them? I think it'd be a good idea for us to ask.
I believe it's the executive.
You what?
I believe it's the executive committee of the Republican Party or the Democratic Party that puts the people in front of the, that qualifies them.
Well,
Robert,
it'd be good for us to know.
Robert, I think that goes back to the committee man process where John Duresh was talking about hand walking for a number of signatures so you yourself can become an elector. And that qualifies you by the number of signatures from your constituents. Then you can present someone to run for office as an elector.
Yeah, I just don't know. Yeah,
The individual still has to pay a fee to the party that they're running for, which is, I believe it's 4% or 5% of whatever the salary is for that office as a filing fee.
That is a bunch of BS. George Washington forbade parties, and this is why, because they try to control people. That's why they eliminated poll tax and everything else.
Well, I know they do charge that fee. However, there is a way for somebody that doesn't have the money to get around it. And I would use that method to get around those fees if I was running for office. It should not cost
gathered by the individuals.
just like it should not cost you anything to use the courts.
Hello.
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 You know what else I had also mentioned, too? I was sitting there thinking, you know, anybody that is in office, everybody who makes decisions and laws, we should put this as an amendment. They should sign a sworn, notarized affidavit of the truth, the whole truth, and whatever they're responsible for, and be accountable. So this way, it will help them to walk a straight line because they asked to go into that position. So, you know what, I think from the Congress, the state reps, the senators, the town committees, the Board of Education, everybody's in power, everybody. And I think that would not be a bad idea since the heat is on all of them. Sign a sworn, notarized affidavit. You're in this position, so if the money and things are missing, it's not going to what it should be, then let them be accountable for it, you know? When they swear in, that, you know, I don't know. I'm just running that idea by you.
Well, might be a good idea. Something worth thinking about.
All right. Well, I just want to, because right now with all this other stuff that's been going on, you know, let people be accountable for their actions. And believe you me, they won't be signing off things so quickly. Because right now everybody's passing the buck. Okay.
It is our duty to hold them accountable.
Yeah, but if they do a sworn notarized affidavit and they're swearing under oath, let them be accountable for what happens.
Yep. So.
I mean, it may not make no sense what I'm saying, but, you know.
Well.
I think a lot of them got away with too much already. Like all the money, a lot of. I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, let's, you know, it's a good idea to think about. Let's move on with this, though. No person shall be a representative who shall not have attained to the age of 25 years and been 7 years a citizen of the United States. And who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state in which he shall be chosen. That sentence doesn't sound right.
Yeah, every time I read it, it doesn't sound right either, Robert. The last part.
Yeah.
Sounds like they're saying that he can't represent the state of Philadelphia if he's a resident of the state of Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me.
Reread that last part. About
what
that.
It says, 7 years citizen of the United States and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state in which he shall be elected. Or chosen, I should say.
You were right. What? You know, I've read that several times and never made any sense. This first time it's been brought up to my attention out loud. That's what they're saying. Somebody tell me I'm wrong. They're saying if you live in Alabama, you can't be elected a representative of Alabama, and it's the opposite of that. So is that a misprint?
It's a misprint.
But it's in my book too, though.
But it's a misprint.
In everybody's book.
But it's a misprint in everybody's book. You know the law is that you have to reside in that state for at least 1 year in order you can run for office. Go back to Hillary Clinton when she ran for Senate in New York. She moved to New York and ran for Senate.
You know, why haven't they corrected that then? You know.
Well, that's something I'm going to have to look up. see if it is a misprint, because it doesn't sound right. I'll make a note of that. Representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among several states, which may be included within the Union according to their respective numbers.
And that's where the Democrats took us, at the illegals. That's why they count them on the census.
Yep. Yep.
That's why Obama bust them all over the country to his districts that needed the uptick.
Well, you know, because not enough people know the Constitution well enough, they use it against us. Let's see here. Representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states, which may be included within this union according to their respective numbers, which shall be determined by adding to the whole number of the free persons, including those bound to service for a term of years, and excluding Indians not taxed, 3/5 of all other persons. The actual enumeration shall be made within 3 years after the final meeting of Congress of the United States, which every man, I tell you, I can't do this. I can't read this. My eyes are so watery, and I can't even see what I'm reading.
May I offer a suggestion, sir?
Go ahead.
I just advised Crystal to go get a press credential so she can stick a mic in the judge's face and get him on record. Why don't we just talk about the First Amendment, how it applies to the press and to reporters, and enhance Ollie's effort to streamline and put out streaming video of this stuff that we're going to gather as reporters. Hey, you.
Well, we are. We're putting together a constitutional course on one of the other websites now too, and hopefully it will be something that we can refer to and be able to teach from it a lot better. I mean, here I am, 74, and the writing on this book is so small, and then my eyes start watering, and I can't see anything. But we need to. I really want to go through the Constitution. I really want to go through it piece by piece.
Was Jan here tonight? Could she read that section, pick up where you left off?
Now she's not here. So I think we all need to put some effort into the Constitution and learn it more. I intend to take the course that Ollie's working on right now. I think when it's done, it's going to be very amazing. I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to, well, I think probably be a lot of people looking at it, hopefully learning it. Now,
hello.
Yes, Crystal.
Yes, okay. I did go to the court yesterday, and as I said, I went over some things. And the attorney, she asked me to come out in the hall to speak to her. And she said I didn't have to come, and I can go home. And that she said she would speak in my behalf. And I said, why would you speak in my behalf when you're the one who's fighting to take my property and you're representing the ones that are doing me in? Which, oh, and by the way, I sent the second set of subrogation papers to them. You know, and then I got another letter today that I got to appear in court again on the 5th. So I will return that and send that back. Also, the grievance. Anytime we have any complaint, this is what I've been doing, I filed the grievance up on these attorneys. No due process. I asked for the proof of claim, the sworn affidavits. It's also the subrogation letters that I sent to all of them 3 times. And after the 3rd time, when they did not respond, they are in default. So I sent it to the court clerk, the attorneys, /judge, all of them. And now I'm on the 2nd batch of it again. So I guess they received the subrogation on, was it probably Saturday or whatever? And that's why she was acting very friendly and what have you towards me. And then, like, when she spoke to the judge, he said, I'm not talking to her. I might, what is that word? It's called, like, removing himself from my case now. So he had nothing to say to me. He wouldn't let me talk or nothing like that. And she goes, well, you could be here all day, and he doesn't have to look at it or whatever, and he might be turning you over to another judge. Another lady there at the court, I guess she was there for the past, you know, from last week to this week, and she had mentioned, she said, you know what, he's recusing himself from a lot of cases now. I guess because there's a lot of complaints pertaining to this judge and also all the attorneys from the WPCA and the group of teams that are stealing the people's homes. So I guess they think they must know something's going on. So, but they said there was an article, and I got to find out from the party who called me. She said it was in the papers this week, or it might have been the latter part of last week, that in the cyber, what is it, where they scan your name and change your deed. And like when I was going, this has been since 2004, who signed my name? I want a sworn notarized affidavit. Well, now they're telling everybody, if your mortgage has been changed and you didn't change it, you ask them for a notarized, sworn notarized affidavit contract, who changed your name, and show me the contract. So that was in the paper, and people are very excited about that. So they said, well, I guess they got that from, you know, they think they got that from me, because different ones were in the court. And then they packed the town hall, the city hall, and everybody's complaining about, you know, the same thing. So people are now paying attention, and some other people told me they signed up and they're logging in for National Liberty Alliance. And I got to meet with some of the educators and stuff like that this week, and also the community colleges.
Huh. Well, people getting involved, people waking up. That's good.
Yeah. So, as I said, I try to make sure I get to the meetings and try to help, but I got to send the other paperwork over. Does anybody know what the warranty deed is?
I do not.
It's the title to your property, which used to be a patent, you know?
That right. Once it's paid off, you get the warranty deed.
That's all you get, so.
Right.
That's all you get,
I'm sorry?
And that's all you get. And the discussion weeks ago was, you know, patent law, that we all used to get patents to our property. Maybe it was months ago. The property was patented since it was territory and controlled by the state and then dispersed out to people. And, you know, so that's all it means, warranty deed. That's your title to your property.
Right. Well, the grantor is the person that's paying on it.
Person that owned it previously.
No, that's the grantor. And the grantee is, once your property's paid off, you get the grantee. You're the sole owner of the property. And then that's what I was going over. You know, when your property's paid off, that's when, you know, it says mortgage release. But the grantee, the warranty deed, is the owner of the property. And, like, if you owned, or even if your family, go back and you could do your own title search and look at the old land records, what have you, okay? And even, like, for, like, my mother's, which, as I've been explaining it to people and showing them what to look for, like the MERS scan, it might have where you bought your property, like on my deed records and stuff, my land records, they changed mine like 6 times. And then the attorney went and signed his name, changed my mortgage in 2014, 3 years and 8 months after it was paid off, and put it on like I just got
mortgage. Is that a government attorney or a private attorney for that bank?
Private attorney. Oh, but they've been ripping off everybody, yeah. And one other last thing I did.
Should push to have that person charged with a crime.
And right, and he put his name on my deed as second party now as the power of attorney over me, which I had some other papers filed afterwards. So that should be non void, which I got it in other people's hands. But what I also did with the grievance, when I filed the grievance up on him, I contacted our attorney general. And another thing, too, everybody needs to contact all their local politicians, start pressuring them about these illegal foreclosures, because I didn't realize the majority of them are attorneys, so they know what time of day it is, you know? But, like, right now, a lot of them are backing up, and they don't want to get caught with their hands in the cookie jar. And it's just like, what was it? When I contacted the Attorney General's office, and make sure whomever you speak to, keep your little journal, date, time, and get the name and who you spoke to. So I spoke to a party there They said, well, we'll send you over to the investigators. And they're also an attorney. I got their names and all. She got my name. She did the time. She has the address. So she goes, so what is your problem? The property is solely yours. Because she knows what the grantee and grantor is. I said, I know this. And so I said, this is what's been going on. So she goes, well, you have to write up. I said, better yet, I said, please can I have your fax number? And I will send you the information what's going on. So she gave me her fax number. She didn't respond. So you know what? They have to answer. Because I heard there's been quite a few attorneys. They've been stealing this one. I know they've been stealing the people's trust accounts. They're throwing senior citizens and stuff out their houses as soon as their spouses die and their homes are paid for. They're taking power of attorney over people. And I said, it's a daggone mess. And when I was in the court the last time, I said, I asked for a grand jury. I said, anything over $20, we can have a grand jury. We can have a jury on this. There is no jury. It's just the attorneys and the judges. So those are another thing, you know. I mean, we have nothing to say. We're going to take your house because we want you out. But what he told me, he asked me, what do I have to say for myself? And I said, I filed my papers, and I said, you did not respond and answer my subrogation. And I said, this is bias, and you're being prejudiced. And I said, I want you off my case. Because I did not say his name, he said, you're not holding me responsible because you didn't say my name, so now I'm going to take your property. And I said, okay. And I said, thank you. And I have left. I said, I'm not going to argue with him, you know, in his court. And, but as I said, this, it's just unbelievable. But I make sure I bring people in the courtroom, and we have our courtroom observers.
Well, I hope he's not drawing in a conversation where he's going to claim that you consented to that.
Huh? That I consented?
Well, he said, what have you got to say in this talking about losing your property, and I hope that's not his game right there. You know, they're full of tricks.
Yeah, I understand that. And at that point, you know, he said, we're taking your property, and that's that. But see, the thing,
and what have you got to say for yourself?
I'm sorry? Yeah, so, you know, then he told her to stop.
So later is he going to claim that, you know, she didn't object, or so she consented. Wouldn't put it past him, so.
Oh, yeah, he may. But see, he's done it to, oh, my God, he's done it to hundreds of thousands of people.
I'm sure if it was investigated, you know.
Oh, well, that's
about,
what, and see, what's going on right now? And what's going on now, he wants to get off all these cases because his name is popping up all over the place. But the good thing, these silly attorneys, they did not go back and do the title search, you know? And when they go back and find out that, wait a minute, we can't do anything with this. And this is what's starting to happen.
Well, they're all making a lot of money off of it. They're all addicted to money.
They're making a lot of money, but right now they're all getting caught.
It's like a drug.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
You know, but as I said, I mean, it's so unbelievable what they've been pulling off on people, and it's very sad. You
Denise
know?
Told us last night about 14 dentists out in Nevada who had been fined $300,000, and she made a statement that the money was being divvied up by the people involved in the fines rather than going into the taxpayer coffers.
Right.
You know, that's along the same lines, if that's true. And it's all you got to do is have a Jeff Sessions and company investigate that stuff, look at the paper trail, and you've got your case, you know, prima facie. And, you know, fill up the prisons with those people. And if they're backing down in your area, it sounds like they are, and telling everybody we're going to change all this, it sounds like they want to run for cover and hope it all goes away. And quite honestly, until we do see some Justice Department action, and even beyond what the Marines are doing with the military tribunals, you know, we need to see some Justice Department action against these people. Maybe it's going on behind the scenes, but, you know, that's when we'll know that we actually have a change occurring in the justice system in America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, paying people, all these people in high positions in our government, paying them all over $100,000 a year, you know, get some people in there that would actually do the work, you know, and investigate this stuff. And
people are all, right now, people are sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know? And as crazy as Mr. Donald Trump is, he gave a lot of people food for thought, and people are speaking out and thinking like they never thought before. And it's just like, number one, I said, I don't care whether you're Republican, Democratic, Independent, or unaffiliated, whatever. People are so sick and tired of all these lies, and for all these years that it's been going on. When did they start with this mess with the mortgage changing? It was in the 80s, and I think it was, I saw a document, I think it was an American Greed or something, and it was that his name was Shelton Silver. He was a former attorney general in New York, and I guess he started this mess about 43, 45 years ago about changing the mortgage. And I guess it caught on. And, you know, at one time, people used to own their homes, burn their deeds. You don't hear nobody owning anything anymore because they're constantly changing and changing. And I said, now with this, with the reevaluation, you know, people need to ask questions. When they say we're in a deficit, how on earth, with all the lotto money that they have, where is the money? Okay? The people don't control that. Where is the tax money going to? All this money that these politicians, they go in making 100 and whatever, 30, 40, 150,000, and they're coming out millionaires and billionaires. You know, where is the money? No one asked that. And meanwhile, they got everybody fighting like chickens with their heads chopped off, and nobody's thinking and asking, oh, wait a minute, it's not about me, it's not about you, it's not about Garza. It's about the filthy, filthy rich making the decisions. People got to start thinking and using common sense, because, you know, like you said, no one's going to sit there and help us, you know? And thank God we have each other, and we're learning straight across the country and teaching each other, you know? And let people, again, that are in office all be accountable for their actions. Sworn, notarized affidavits. Where is the money? You voted on this. Well, where is the money? And where is, you know, with all the money they make per day, just like even in New York City, all those bridges, how many people are going back and forth? They have to make close to $500 million a week just on tolls and all that. The money.
Yeah, and where's that
where
money going?
You know, these are years, the bridges, the roads, all over, you know? And it's just like when we lost our tolls in our state, we had a horrible accident in, what was it, 1983? And at the toll booth, and the toll, the, you know, It was a fatality where it caught
on fire.
What's the cost
to go across the typical bridge up there?
In New York?
Yeah. Let's say you're in Connecticut going into New York City. What's it end up costing you, all the tolls?
Yeah, so now we don't even bother to go to Queens once we get to go to the airport. But it's, $15 each way.
See, I would rebel right there on that, so I would consider that's going to...
But see, you can't get around because you got the Tappan Zee, the GW, the Throsneck, the Whitestone. Wait a minute. There's five bridges. You know, and as I said, the Garden State Parkway, they got quite a few tolls, but I think it's... I think it's like $1.50, and it's like every 10 miles you got a toll. So
there's going to be some corporation, New World Order, that's incorporated a business and collects all those tolls, and is taking a big chunk off the top of that. It'd be like a charity, where only 10% of the money actually goes to the children or something. So it's
ridiculous.
It is. I didn't actually know it was that expensive to get around up there.
Well, that's why, and God help you if you make one wrong turn. Like, I was down there because I had to go down to Jersey, and I said I was going out to, I went through Manhattan and stuff like that, and I got in the wrong lane. I had to go through the toll, pay it again because I took the wrong turn. It cost, just on my mistakes, I think it cost me just like $30. Just in toll vacant because I made the wrong turn. And that was just in New York. because the traffic gets so congested, which I know my way around pretty well, but I couldn't get over and I had to bear it because it's like all the road construction and you're driving right on the... It's terrible down there at Thumbs Mountain.
I did hear Gerard or somebody mention the property taxes up in New York. And they were extremely high. So,
well, Connecticut is going to be the new Hollywood. You think it's high in New York, you should see what it's in Greenwich, Connecticut, because that's where all the celebrities live. And the taxes. My former boss is the assessor down there. And I think some of the people are paying $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 a year in taxes.
Just creates a gravy train for the government people at the top,
Yeah, so that, in other words, everybody will lose their shirts off their back on the next reevaluation. It's terrible. But as I said, don't forget that disaster that they had in California.
Can't you guys homestead?
I'm sorry?
Don't you have the Homestead Act? Can't you homestead your property so it can never be taken away by taxes?
No. Well, is that like air property? Could you please explain that to me?
The Homestead Act was where they had like the Oklahoma land rush.
Uh-huh.
And you live on your property for like 7 years, you make improvements, and then you own it outright with a land patent. Then later on, when they started this garbage with the Federal Reserve Act and all that, then they said, well, let's make a Homestead Act where people can file a Homestead Act on their property so it can not be taken away for taxes.
And that's supposed to be the remedy when they changed it from a patent to a warranty deed, probably.
Exactly. So I have to bring this up for that one reason. There's a remedy in place. Use it.
Can I get a copy of that? I will do that. Hold on 1 second. See, I remember my mother used to talk about air property. And
I hope it's not like other issues where when you try to go and do that, you get roadblocked at the county clerk's office or the courthouse.
Well let's hope that they do, because that's what the grand jury is for. Well, if you're blocking that remedy, how can you do that?
Wait a minute. Can you
and that's
please
where
give
the
that
grand jury can investigate corruption in government and follow it. That's what we are. We're the grand jury. We don't need people's permission. They better start running in fear.
Okay, can you please go over, tell me that again, please? It's called what? The Homestead Act, you said? I'm sorry? Hello?
Have you looked that up, Fred?
Hello?
There's another supposed remedy that's tied into the Federal Reserve turning us all into trustees of our capital letter name, where they sell sell off our life value, $1 million, $2 billion. One site you could find information on that was called Stop the Pirates, and you supposedly could cash that value in and get it back, and that's supposed to be your remedy. But
I've heard,
anybody who attempted to do that has been thwarted or prosecuted for some form of corruption themselves. So I'm just guessing. I might bet $10 that the same thing is going to happen in the Homestead Act, or just like trying to go into a county courthouse and turn your warranty deed back into a patent like it used to be.
Well, we have the affidavits, the one I filed. I believe I sent it, but I'm going to send it in again. And it did work. Use of the property. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you said there's a fellow in Michigan. Robert, what's his last name?
Overhill.
Overhill, right.
What about
him? Yeah, he's done it.
You know anything about this Homestead Act, Robert? Not the original homesteading of land, but the remedy?
I don't know about the remedies. I do know that you can legally change it back to the patent.
And then you supposedly can refuse to pay your property tax and be free and clear.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, I heard something pertaining to that, too. Okay, then let's do that.
There'd have to be people in the country that own property that still is under a patent title.
Like, example, it'd
be interesting to know if they're not paying property taxes.
Like P.T. Barnum, he left the whole Seaside Park, I think, like 400 acres, all waterfront property. He left it for 400 years to all the residents of Bridgeport. So they tried to sit there, and they tore down his beautiful mansion and everything else. And then they found out, I'll never forget, I was working on this. This was back in the 70s, and one of the attorneys found the deed and the will, and they said, you can't do a thing with this property because he left it for all the residents for 400 years. And then you sit there and you think, like, well, wait a minute. Even like with the Kennedys and the Rockefellers and the Bushes or whatever. And it's just like, how come they never have a problem with deeds or wills or anything like that? Because everything's in a trust. And it's just like there was. I'll never forget. I was watching a documentary on what was it? It was on Ted Kennedy. I guess when he was involved in that accident in Massachusetts with the Mary Jo Kopechne or whatever, the Chappaquiddick Bridge or whatever. I guess it happened in the 60s, and she had drowned. So he, I guess, supposedly left the scene of the accident. And so what had happened, I guess, after her death and stuff like that, the parents went to sue Ted Kennedy from the Kennedy compound, and they couldn't get 1 cent. The only thing they got out of that accident, the death of their daughter, was what the car was insured for, because he was worth nothing.
Well, that shows you the true worth of Ted Kennedy all the way through. He showed that he panicked and would lie and hide and then not accept responsibility for the thing, and there was no people's jury there to provide a remedy for that family. And that's all about millionaires, big money.
But
I was never impressed with Ted Kennedy from the minute he gave his obituary speech when his brother Robert had been murdered. And he basically is quivering voice talking, and, you know, he was nothing but a coward from then on, and probably a bought and paid for congressman, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So,
yeah, when he was a baby.
I'm sorry to say that to the Kennedy family, because I loved Robert F. Kennedy and John F. Kennedy.
Oh, he was wonderful.
They were tremendous men, and in my opinion, the rest of the family totally abandoned them and went back to, I looked up on the internet, the Kennedy family is heavily involved in the Chicago mercantile enterprise now, making a lot of money off of that. And it appears they went back to, you know, what Grandpa Joseph Kennedy, when he was involved with the powers that be, New World Order,
mm-hmm.
and lost a train of thought. What were you talking about before I interrupted you? That's just a side note about the Chappaquiddick thing, you know.
Homestead exemption, I can read you what it means.
All right.
Homestead exemption
is a
legal regime to protect the value of the homes of residents from property taxes, creditors, and circumstances that arise from the death of the homeowner's spouse. Such laws are found in the statutes or the constitutions of many of the states in the United States. Originally, Homestead was the act by Congress in 1862, and Homestead is equal to 160 acres.
And, you know, that continued up into the 1960s. You could still homestead land in Alaska.
Today, in Florida, homestead means $50,000. It's you are taxed, what is the appraisal of the house minus the $50,000. And that's what the lower you taxation.
So that's a scam right there. They're like excusing the Homestead
Act.
Well,
What I'm saying, they used the definition homestead, 160 acres, way where it was enacted. Today, it's basically...
In Florida, you said 50 acres?
No, Florida is 50,000 of the...
50,000
of the value of the your property. So let's say if your home is worth 200,000, if you have a homestead, you go to the clerk of the court, you file the paper... And then you pay taxes not from 200,000
50,000. Okay.
So you pay from 150. What else is included? Like the article says here, creditors, circumstances that arise from the death of the spouse. If you go over there, they will probably tell you more.
Okay, I know exactly what you're saying. Okay, because what we used to have in our state, okay, and it went into effect, I don't know whether it was the 50s or whatever, but I remember when I was working back there back in the 70s, we would have the circuit breaker, that's money deducted off your taxes yearly, or the freeze. And the freeze was they would freeze your assessment. That's just like the Homestead Act. So every 10 years when they would have a reevaluation, and when a person retired, and if you retired or you're disabled, you can get the freeze on your property. So every time they would have a reevaluation to bring the assessment up to 70% of the fair market value, your assessment would be frozen at that amount. So for the rest of the duration of your life, or as long as you own that property, your taxes would be frozen at that 70%. And this is what I had mentioned. I said they need to bring that back because with this new reevaluation coming in, and Connecticut's a small state, there's 169 cities and towns in there, but we're close to New York and Boston. When they do this next reevaluation, everyone in the state will end up losing their property. Because if you're on a fixed income and now your taxes are going to be $70,000, $80,000, and you're getting $20,000 or $30,000 of a pension, it's just going to be impossible. So they need to bring that back. You know, because even when I took economics in high school, minimum wage, I will never forget the formula my teacher taught us in my senior year. Back in 74, what was the minimum wage? I think it was $1.10, $1.25. She goes, what was the retirement age? Retirement age back then was 55 years old. How old will we be before we can retire? It was 37 years. She goes, every year you work, it's 75 cents to a dollar more per your income. When would you be 65? I mean, when would you be 55? I said 2010. So figure out what the minimum wage would be. So in 2010, minimum wage should have been $38, $39 per hour. Cost of living keeps on going up. They brought our income minimum wage back to 82, 83. It's impossible for people to live.
It's all designed to make everybody poor slaves.
Exactly, because it's two classes. Either filthy rich. Right.
The wages didn't rise for the last 30 years.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it.
The way around the taxes is simple. You set up a corporation soul, and you deed your property to your corporate soul as a religion, and it cannot be taxed. You file in the county as private property, not subject to taxation. It belongs to God.
Is that what you did, Fred?
No, I did not do that, but I know how.
I know one guy who teach that corporation soul. Then he runs away to Panama, and they send the CIA over there, brought him back, and tried him in America.
Yeah, see, they prosecute you.
Well, it's the CIA that smuggles all kinds of drugs in from Iraq and Iran and Vietnam and sells it on the streets of America. Then the DEA runs around arresting people. So, you know,
Founded in September 47.
Yeah, look at 9/11. I mean, our government's criminal. I mean, so they're thieves anyway. But I'm trying to tell you a way around it. Now, if they want to arrest a guy that's probably trying to do it for other people by spreading the wealth, the Kennedys did it. That's how they kept everything. That's how, in Chappaquiddick, that asshole Ted didn't own anything. Everything was in his trust.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Soul. And that's how he does it.
Yeah, and I said, well, that was, you know, I was just so shocked when they had that documentary on there. It's like, wow, I didn't know what they did or how, but anyways.
You know, Carolyn
right
Kennedy,
now,
Ted Kennedy may have been threatened big time right after the death of Robert Kennedy, and that may be the real answer. Carolyn Kennedy was going to run for United States Senator somewhere around 9/11, and then she decided not to. And she might have been dialed up and threatened. And,
yeah,
you know,
they said even John when he came out with that magazine, George, he said.
Yeah,
you know,
they just have to be eavesdropping on his private conversations and wait for him to tell his family members, yes, I am going to run for president. And then they went after him. So the word on that is he was taken out too. So, and that's what we got to deal with. So anytime we have a real leader take charge, honestly, and get anywhere, they take them out. And that's been going on, you know, 9/11, Paul Wellstone, senator for Minnesota. He was just an average school teacher, made it to the U.S. Senate, and he was blocking Bush from getting the consensus, you know, to go to war. And then Sonny Bono out in California was just been given information about corruption in the government, and he started to investigate that, and suddenly he gets attacked by a tree on the ski slope. And, you know, and you don't hear a word from Cher or anybody, you know, about what may have happened because everybody's afraid to, you know, that's, FDR did say the only thing you got to fear is fear itself.
Yeah.
And the opposite
thing,
of that.
I don't think, I, you know what, as I said, you know, I just keep on praying to Joe. We pray for our enemies. I don't care what these people are doing. The only thing I, just please leave me alone, and that's it. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. It's just, you know, right now, and it's the greed, the lies, and it's just like, it's just so overwhelming. And it tears my heart. I said, you work for a lifetime. And I said, you know, I mean, how many times, they ripped me off on my pension. They ripped me off on so much. And it's just like, you know what, life is very simple. I just keep on praying, keep on, Psalm 37, it says that very soon the wicked will perish, but the meek ones will inherit the earth, have the hope of everlasting life. You know, you got to keep on praying for our enemies, because the only one who knows our heart is the Heavenly Father, Jehovah God. He's the only one who knows our hearts, you know. And even the ones that are doing evil, wicked things, maybe they will change, you know. Because it's a sad state of affair, and with all the sickness and the contamination and the pollution and, you know, the hatefulness, it's just, it's sad. And it's very,
that's
very
a good,
sad.
That's a good question for someone that knows the Bible, maybe like John Durash, is why are the evil ones allowed to get away with what they get away with for so long?
Well, read Psalm 37. There's your answer. You know?
What does that say?
Psalm 37.
John Kennedy Jr., who died in this plane accident, he was the he was the publisher of the magazine. The magazine presumably was named after his father killer.
Right, and his girlfriend, but not wife, was supposedly just
he was
discovered
married.
She
was
pregnant.
Married.
You know.
Yeah,
and,
but he was married though. Wife's girlfriend. Yeah. He was married, and his wife had a twin sister.
It was the girlfriend that had the baby? Okay. I mean, I've gotten that mixed up, so. Was pregnant, so.
Yeah, no, his wife and her, one of the twins.
His wife's family sued the Kennedys, and they win some big money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, Carol was settled everything. Her name was Bazette or something like that.
It's about that time, folks, I think, for the night.
Darn it, Robert.
Okay.
We were just having candid conversation there, so, about reality. So.
Yeah, well.
Hey, you know, I noticed in my Constitution book, those last sentences you read have actually been deleted from the Constitution. They're underlined in my book, and the caption is underlined words no longer apply. That in other amendments, you'll find they've been removed. That had to do with the Indian part about taxing Indians. So,
yeah,
which is good because that's racism against the Indian nation. So,
this section, what you read, Robert, there was the change by the second. Section 2 of 14th Amendment. You see over the parentheses, and they have a small one. And in the way on the bottom, the page, it says there has been change by the Section 2 of 14th Amendment. You can go back there and read it.
Yeah, well,
I'm just
thinking.
Go ahead, Robert.
This,
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just noticing that this this book, this Constitution book I was reading from, is the Cato Institution.
Right.
And I'm just...
It depends on what year.
Yeah, well, I
the George Soros Institution of its modern.
Yeah, and
according
and
to Denise.
Yeah. Yeah, and so now I see why it's saying what it's saying.
It's always interesting when you study anything now to chronologically look at it, look who's publishing it, you know, and verify, you know, if you know anything about what's really going on.
Yep.
You know, like Hollywood.
Well, I've had these Constitution books for a couple of years. And
the original 13th Amendment, I know Nikki said it's on the site. Which I still
it's
have
on
been
the
able,
site. I've got it somewhere. I got it somewhere too. I'll get it to you.
And to compare that, so
yeah. Well, anyway,